Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14.
Today I want to preach a message to you. Pressing forward into 2010 with resolve. Pressing forward into 2010 with resolve.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Good to see you. Hey, that's a good crowd. Good crowd, I'll tell you. Yesterday when they were calling for all that snow and stuff, I thought, man, I told Rose, I said, we'll be lucky to have people coming. This is a good crowd. I appreciate you coming. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. I'm glad we didn't let Satan stop us from meeting. Amen. In Philippians 3:10, the Bible says that I may know him. Let me see that. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. By any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Man, I'm glad I'm going up. Amen. I'm glad, Brother Tommy, I'm glad we got the hope of the resurrection. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us meet on this first Sunday of the new year of 2010. Pray you'll bless the reading of your word. Help me, Father. These people came. Lord, they weathered the storm, the cold, and all the elements. And Father, Lord, I can't bless them, but you can. Please. Help me to be a blessing for you, Father, to them. Holy Spirit of God, come down. Meet with us. Meet with us in a tremendous way. Knit our hearts to yours today, I pray. Help me to put that thought in what you put in my heart. Help me to put in their heart. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. 2010, a brand new year. Richard and Emma starting a new year too, besides a new year for the calendar, a new year in their marriage. That's exciting. 56 years, that's so tremendous. What an accomplishment. You young people, you ought to look at some of these older people. They ought to be your heroes. And marriages for life, stay together. I always get excited. Brother Mike, I always get excited about a new year. I really do. A new year gives a new start. A new year gives a fresh start. A new year gives a new beginning. What happens in the prior year of 2009? It's done and over. 2009 has passed. You might have made mistakes. No doubt I've made mistakes, but I can't change them. They're past. But we can learn from mistakes. Amen? We can take those lessons that we learned and apply them to this new year of 2010. You know, I've heard people say, boy, preacher, if I could only go back and live it over. Boy, preacher, if I could. How many of you have heard that? Boy, if I could only do it over again. How many of you have heard that? Well, a new year gets you that way. You might have made some mistakes in 2009, but you don't have to make those mistakes in 2010. It's helping you to do it over, anew, afresh, a new start. In a new year, you need to resolve in your heart. You're pressing forward. Like the apostle said, look at verse 13 and 14, what the apostle Paul said. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, a lot of times people let their past affect their future. You can't drag the past with you. It'll slow down your future. Confess those sins, ask God to forgive you, and go forward. Amen? And he says, I press towards the mark. You know, I can't bring back any days of 2009. They're gone forever. I have thrown, people have given me calendars. And in 2009, people gave me calendars. And I've thrown those old calendars away. You know, yes, we threw them away. A couple days ago, we threw those old 2000, and now, Brother Mark, I got brand new 2010s. And the old ones are thrown away, done away with. Lord willing, I have a whole year now. Listen to the preacher. We have a whole year in front of us. Lord willing, whatever Lord would give us. Lord willing, we have a whole year of 2010 in front of us. Today's January 3rd. We've got the whole year. You know what? I can't do nothing about 2009. But I can control what I do, the decisions I make for 2010. Amen? I mean, listen to me. The past is behind me, but the future is before us. Now we need to make a decision to press forward in 2010 with resolve. We need to be resolved we're going to make this year a good year. I know there's a lot of things fighting a lot of people, a lot of sickness, jobs, health, weather, but we need to resolve we're going to press through it. We need to resolve to make the right decisions and learn not to fall back into those pitfalls that maybe tripped us up in 2009. We need to resolve in our heart that we're going to make 2010 count for God and count for our family. Resolve that. Make it. I'm going to do it. The word resolve means the purpose in your heart, the fix in your heart. You are fixed on a goal. You're fixed on a dream. You've got a desire to accomplish. We ought to the new year brings in a lot of resolutions. I don't know about resolutions, but I know one thing. For the things of God, we need to determine we're going to resolve to do those things. For instance, the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. You say, well, preacher, I'd like to do those things, but I can't. No, you can. Preacher, I'd like to be in all the church services. Well, but I can't. No, you can't. I can do all things through Christ. Amen? I'm resolved. One of our goals this year, and I'll be sharing a lot with you in the coming year, I'm resolved that Bethel Baptist Church is going to rise up, and we're going to build. I'm resolved. We're going to, and I'm determined, Brother Mark, that we are going to, by God's grace, we're going to build out. We're going to start building in 2010. You're going to see the shovel out there digging. We're going to be doing some building out there in 2010. A new building. How many can say amen to that? I'm resolved for that. That new building, that Christian school, is going to go up. Listen. So don't get frustrated and mad at me if I start talking all the time about we're going to the new building, because you're going to hear it a lot. Because one thing I resolved in 2010, by God's grace, we're going to get out there. Jesus coming back. The deacons were getting together next week and after next week, and we're going to be getting some forms together, and we're going to be sending out to that Lasco Foundation. I've got other things we're going to be doing. And we're going to go after. We're going to go after some funds. And we're going to, by God's grace, $250,000. I'm going to put up a thing. I'm taking down God's 300. And we're going to put up a new thing, reaching up the build. And we're going to be reaching to try to raise $250,000. And we hit that, deacons, we get that $250,000. We're going to start building. You say, well, that, preacher, that's only one about a fourth of what you need, or not even a fourth, an eighth. I don't care. God said we get $250,000, start. And I'm resolved. Are you listening to me, Bethel? Hey, Bethel, are you listening to preacher? I'm resolved that this year we're going to go out there. This year we're going to start building. Let me give you a few things today. We are going to rise up and build this year. More than just that building, we're going to build people's lives. We're going to build people's marriages. We're going to build bus routes and Sunday school classes and groups of people. We're going to build a church, Brother Mike, for the glory of God. Amen. Yeah. I wrote down a few things that I think that's important for us to be resolved for. in 2010. Number one, and the most important thing you ought to be resolved for, you ought to resolve in 2010 that you're going to have a closer walk with God. If there was one thing preacher could challenge you for, let's all have a closer walk with God. By the way, you say, well, I already do walk with God. Our walks can be closer. There's none of us that are perfect. Paul said, I've not apprehended. In other words, I've not arrived. I can still get closer to God. I can still learn more about God. Brian, turn me down a little bit. I'm too loud. I can still obtain a lot more things for God than what I've already attained. Amen? Notice what he said there in verse 10. I said, number one, we ought to resolve to have a closer walk with God. That I may know him. That ought to be the most important thing in our life in 2010, that we know God. That we know God. Psalms 46:10 says, be still. Be still and know God. You know what I think was so exciting here? This last month, the month of the year, the 2009 December, I think everybody was reading their Bible more. I think there was a sweeter spirit, and you were seeing great crowds and people getting saved and baptized. I think the reason, because people were getting in the Word. And when you get in the Word, you get washed in the Word. Your heart gets excited. Your heart gets cleaner. Hello? The joy of Christ comes. The peace of Christ comes. And I'm going to tell you right now, that peace passes all understanding. I'm going to tell you, and that's why this church had such a great month of December. I believe people were reading. We're trying to get closer to God. I've already started reading my Bible through a couple days ago. We started reading through our Bible. I'm in the book of Genesis, and we're reading through Genesis now. I want to encourage you to read through Genesis this month. Keep reading. How many will keep reading? I'm resolved that we're gonna know God better, have a closer walk with God. You know, listen. We ought to be resolved to have a close walk with God, even in the midst of a wicked generation. You know, as I was reading this, the start of this year, in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, I read about how even in the days of Noah, Noah was righteous. By the way, I was talking to Rosie yesterday. You know, Noah lived in one of the most wickedest times that there ever was on the face of the earth. Did you know that? Did you know people were really wicked, wicked, wicked in Noah's day? Matter of fact, people in Noah's day were so wicked. In Genesis 6, it says that God repented that he made man. But I'm going to read to you Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. There was one man that knew God, Bobby. There was one man that knew God. And the Lord, Genesis 7, 1 says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and thy house in the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Bobby's preached on being righteous and walking, being a Christian. Look up here, kids. I know it's bad out there. I know kids in your age are doing a lot of evil. And the flesh wants to say, well, I can't live it. Nobody's living it. Hogwash. We can have a close walk with God. Well, preacher, all the evil, all the sin, all the lust, all the adultery, all the fornication, all the drinking, all the drugs, all the cursing, all the evil. No, you can listen. Noah was in a generation of profound evil. By the way, the Bible says that as the days of Noah were, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. See, the world's not getting better and better and better. It's getting worse and worse and worse. But the Bible says that even though Noah lived in an evil generation, he still walked with God and he was righteous before God. Let's not use the world for a crutch. Let's quit making excuses. The world don't tell you to turn that TV on and watch that filth. All the filth and stuff. The world don't tell you to look at that pornography on your computer. Boy, this good stuff. See, we need to be resolved. This first Sunday of the year, we need to be resolved. Hey, you know what? I'm not going to let maybe some of that stuff got you in 2009. You got to be resolved this year and say, you know what? I'm gonna walk closer to God. I'm gonna know God in a better way. I'm gonna seek after Him. I'm gonna know Him. I'm gonna reach up to Him, and I'm gonna have a walk with Him greater than I've ever had. You know what your desire ought to be? You ought to have a desire that your walk in 2010 is the greatest walk you've ever had ever in your Christian life. Amen. Micah the prophet said this: He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I remember my dean of my college, Dr. John Brook, years ago gave us that verse, Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of thee? To love mercy, and to do justice, and to walk humbly with thy God. In the midst of this world, we can still do that. In 2010, we could have that kind of walk. We need to make a decision to press forward and be resolved. We need to be resolved that no matter what, we're going to go forward for God. Can anyone say amen? And we need in our hearts need to say, listen, we're not going to let the world tear us down. We're not going to let the world destroy us. Let me show you some more things with you. Boy, Satan's fighting today, ain't he? We need to make a decision to press forward in 2010. We need to resolve we are going to make this year a good year. We need to resolve that we're not going to let things of the past tear us down. And we need to say in our heart, this year, we're going to go forward. Listen, we need to resolve to have more faith in God this year. You know what Romans 10:17 says? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look up here. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's good that you come to church. It's good that you hear the word of God. You want to get closer to God? One way you get closer to God, you hear God's word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's important that you hear God's word. I'm going to tell you right now, faith comes by hearing. So how many want more faith in 2010? That means you need to get all the preaching you can get. You need to hear all the you can't get enough preaching. I thank God for singing. And singing lifts the heart up. But singing don't put faith in. Preaching puts faith in. Preaching brings men unto God. Listen, we should resolve to be in every service unless we're providentially hindered. You know what? Folks, listen to me. This is the first Sunday of the year. I want you to resolve, by God's grace, unless I'm providentially hindered, I'll be in church every service. Now, I look for Mark and Betty to be in church, and Andrew and the folks are in church. I look for Brother Mike and Katie. You know why? They're resolved to be in here. I'm not worried about Bobby and Jamie. They're going to be here. I guarantee you, Jimmy don't come and say, "Hey, Dad, are we going to church Sunday?" I guarantee you, for the last 10 or 15, Mark, Andrew hasn't came up to Mark and says, "Hey, Dad, are we going to church Sunday?" See, the question ought to be, are we going? That question shouldn't be asked. You ought to be resolved in your heart, I'll be there. Unless I'm stopped for some reason, I'll be in church. You don't have to be a preacher to be in church. Every Christian ought to be in church. The Bible says in Hebrews not to forsake the assembly. I know this is basic, but on the first Sunday of the year, you need to hear this. Every time the doors are open, you ought to determine in 2010, by God's grace, unless you're providentially hindered, you ought to make a decision, I'm going to be there. Because I'm going to tell you, you want to have a closer walk with God? I can stay home and walk with God. No, you can't. Oh, you can stay home and be saved. Yeah, anybody can be saved once you trust Christ. You know, coming to church don't make you saved. But I'll tell you one thing, if you want to have a close walk with God, you got to be in church. You're going to read your Bible. You're going to pray. Hello? Boy, it's quiet here today. Anyone home say amen? We should be resolved that we're going to read and study our Bible. We need to look up here. All right, maybe some of you started that New Testament and you didn't even finish it. Finish the New Testament. Finish what you haven't done yet. Then start again. Amen? But and I like what Brother Gray said, and it helped Brother Mike a lot. I don't care how much you read. Make sure you read every day. Open your Bible up every day. Now, personally, I think you should read a portion. You know what, folks? You know why people don't read the Bible? You're right, their heart. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. And you know what? You'd be surprised how much time we sit in front of that boob tube. If the TV with the big screens. Hello? Aren't you glad you came New Year? I sit in front of it. I watch football games and stuff. Listen to me, though. When you don't have time to read the Bible, you just think, how much time did I sit in front of that TV today? I wonder if I would sit less in front of the TV and sit more and watch the Bible. Hello? Folks, it's our attitude. And it's our heart. Hello? We're talking about being resolved. See, you need to resolve in your heart. I don't care if you're young or old. You need to resolve in your heart. I'm going to put the priorities on the things of God. I'm going to put priorities on church. I'm going to put priorities on reading my Bible. If I have to choose between watching a TV show and reading my Bible, I'm going to take my Bible. If I have to, choose between doing a sport or going to church, I'm going to take church. I get so irritated people putting sports over God's house. You got to make a priority this year in 2010 to put God before all your sports. Amen. We're so sports oriented. I love sports. I grew up. I played sports. I love sports. But I'm going to tell you, when sports control you and God doesn't, there's a problem. Am I making sense to anybody? We ought to be resolved to be in the hear the Word of God and to read and study our Scriptures. The Bible says we're to study and search the Scriptures. And folks, you can't get a closer walk with God unless you do those things. We need to resolve to know God's will. I'm going to read to you from Proverbs. Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 3. You ought to care about God's will for your life. I want to read to you Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of day, how many want to live long? Put God first. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee, if you remember God's commandments, his laws. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou have find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I'm going to tell you right now. Folks, that's the kind of resolve we ought to have. Lord, what do you want for my life? Lord, what do you want me to do? God, do you want me to do this? Lord, is this what you want for me to do in my life? Lord, is this where you want me to go? Is this what you want me to study? Is this what you want me to watch? See, trust in the Lord. Let him have priority. God, what is your perfect will for my life? Do we ever ask that? Hello? God, what's your will for my life? Oh, I'll tell you right now, if we would give our life to God. And God, be resolved in your heart to be a tither. Look at that. If you're in Proverbs 3, look at verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall be burst out with new wine. You know, we need a dedication. God, no matter what I have, I'm going to honor you with the first fruits. One thing, Kenny Conklin's a young convert. He's only been saved a little over a year, but I'll tell you one thing he does. The moment he gets a paycheck or he makes money, he's learned something. He's learned one truth I know for a fact. He said, well, no matter when God gives me something, I'm going to honor God with the first fruits. He said, preacher, here's my tithe. Here's my tithe. Here's my tithe. Preacher, I made $50 working on a car. How much is that? I said, $5. He put, you know what? Look up here. You think that might be shallow. That's not shallow. That's deep.
Yep, that's right.
You think I know a lot of you think, boy, that guy, he's really shallow today. I'm going to tell you, that's what your problem is. I'm in deep water and you don't even understand it. Yep. See, a lot of you don't even trust God with what he gives to you. You wonder, well, why doesn't God bless me more? What have you done? I always get a kick out of these people. Well, man, if I had $1 million, I'd give it to the church. You don't even give God 10 out of 100. Hello? Hello? Anybody home? I'm going to tell you right now, I'll never probably be a rich man, but that's all right. I just want to be... See, you don't have to be rich in finances to be rich. Some of the poorest people in the world are the richest people in the world. And some of the richest people in the world are the poorest people in the world. Hello? I'll tell you right now, Kenny, as a young man, I learned what you learned. Whatever God gives me, I'm gonna honor him first. Let me read that to you again. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the... You know what I even thought about? Mark, you know what I thought about? I never thought about this. Let me read that verse and I'll say something. You're probably not going to have church tonight, so I'm going to give you like a 1.5 today. Honor thy Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. God says, hey, you do right. I'll make sure you don't go hungry. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, God loveth a cheerful giver. Over in Leviticus, it says, in Leviticus 27, it says, verse 33, says that the tithe is the Lord's and it's holy. You know what came to my mind last night? I had their tithe sitting out on the table. And there I never thought. And I set something down on top of it. I went back and took the stuff off the top. I went and took it off. See, even the Bible, like you throw a bunch of junk on top of your Bible. It's a holy Bible. See, I don't think things ought to be stacked on top of this. See, I think this word is holy. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, Brother Mark, sometimes I just put my hands on it and say, oh God, thank you. Oh God, thank you. This Bible is holy. And last night, I don't know if I had a glass or something. I went back and I said, oh my lands. I never even thought about the tithe. I went back. I don't know. I had a book. I think I had a Strong's Concordance or something, Bobby, sitting on top of my tithe. And I went, I actually, you might be silly to some of you people, but I got thinking, man, this is holy. This is God's. Some of you forgot to put the holy in the plate today. Hello? Some of you are holy mackerel right now. See, I'm trying to start the new... You want to have a great year? 2010, be honest with God.
Amen.
Be honest with God. This is holy. And I'm resolved that I'm going to make sure that... when I get my check on Friday, Bobby, I cash it. How many are glad to cash their checks on Fridays? This is the truth, Mark. The first thing I do when I get my check, the Lord knows I'm telling the truth. The very first thing I do, Kenny, even though you do it too, the very first thing preacher does, and he's come over, and I said, look, here's my tithe. I have my tithe I don't put my tithe in. I'll have my tithe in my envelope on Friday. Filled out, ready to rock and roll. Hello? How many are with me? If I got enough money Sunday morning, I'll put what I can in. No. The moment I get my check, my tithe is ready to go. You could take up the offering Friday after I cash my check, and my tithe is ready to go in. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the tithe is the Lord's. It's holy. Amen? And I'm glad you've learned that lesson, Kenny. That's right. You got it right. You got it right. And so we need to be resolved. We need to be resolved to seek after God and to know Him. By the way, you want to walk with Him? That's part of your walk. Yeah. How can you know God if you're not even going to be honest with Him? How's He going to speak to you? How's He going to speak to you when you don't even do like people say, they'll say, what do you want me to do? And you tell them what to do, and they walk away. See, God tells us what to do. He's watching to see if we'll do it. You say, well, man, why didn't He ever do anything else? Why should He tell you anything else? You don't do the little things He does tell you. Hello? I'll push on. I know I'm killing you today. Then also, we ought to resolve to be a friend in 2010. We ought to be resolved to be a friend in 2010. Bring a friend. Bring a friend. You know what? I'm going to use that for a slogan. Bring a friend in 2010. Brother Kotiver called me. He's got a friend. It's a recruiter. He was going to come, but he couldn't come. But maybe next week he can come. And you know what? Every one of us, we ought to dedicate ourselves in 2010. We're going to bring a friend. Bring a friend in 2010. Every one of you have got a friend. If not, bring an enemy. They'll become your friend. Amen? Jesus said to love your enemies. Do good to them and despitefully use you. Listen, Andrew, in John 1, 41 and 42, Andrew brought his brother Peter to Jesus. In John 1, 45 and 46, Philip findeth Nathanael, said, come and we found the Messiah, come and see. The lady at the well, John 4, 29, the woman at the well, she brought the whole city almost. She said, come and, in John 4, 29, she said, come and see a man who told me all the things about my life. Come and see, come and see, come and see. You see, they brought a friend to Jesus. In 2010, we ought to be resolved. We ought to resolve that. We're going to bring that friend. Some of you got friends. Some of you got families. Some of you got acquaintances. Some of you got people you know that you work with. You ought to determine your heart. You're going to bring them to Jesus in 2010. Bring a friend in 2010. Man, I wish we'd get resolved for that. I noted this. We need to be resolved in our heart. We're going to witness to our family and friends and our acquaintances before it's too late. Before it's too late. Genesis 19:16, the Bible says, and Lot lingered. The reason he lingered, Brother Bobby, he knew his family was going to be perish. He had all that time to witness to him. Then the angel said, come on, we're getting you out of here. God's going to destroy this. Can I tell you something? God's going to destroy this. A few weeks ago, as I was reading through the New Testament, I read Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, it talks about the four horsemen, the four horses, the white horse, which is the Antichrist, that's coming to destroy the world. Then the red horse, and the black horse, and the pale horse, and all that's talking about war and destruction and famine and death. Ladies and gentlemen, look up here. That's coming soon. Now look up here. Christian, that Revelation chapter 6, that's not applying to us. We're going to be gone. 4:1 says, come up hither. That's the rapture. Revelation 4:1. Revelation 3:10 says, I'll keep you from that hour. Brother Mike, I'm not worried about going into tribulation. He's taking us out just like he took the Noah out of the flood. Christ was the ark. We have safety in Christ. But I'm going to tell you right now, look up here. You got to get this. Your family and friends that you know, there are people that you never witnessed to yet. There are people you've never prayed for. There are people you know, look up here. You know some people that are lost. You know they're lost. You know if they die or if Christ comes back, their rapture could happen. They are going to build that third temple. I like what she put in the little prayer request bulletin. She put in there at the end. Did you know that they're building the third temple? It tickled me when I read that. I have to tell Robin thank you for putting that in there. You know what? We know it, but we don't act upon it. Yeah. I saw in Rosie, Mike, I was reading, as I started again this reading, you remember when Noah had 120 years, he preached to the people? Then it says in Genesis 7, it says that he said, come on in. He said, and yet 7 days, and I'll bring the flood. I don't know, Brother Billy, how many days we have. I don't know if it's 1 day, 7 days, 100 days, 5,000. I don't know how many we have. I just know that the time's running out. And Brother Mike, I know this. If I'm ever going to reach people, I better have an urgency in my heart right now to reach them. Because one day it will be over. One day it will be too late. One day night cometh when no man can work. And if you're, listen, in 2010, Bethel Baptist Church, we need a resolve. We need a resolve in our heart that we're going to reach that people for Christ and that we bring someone, we bring a friend in 2010. Bring a friend in 2010. Can anyone say amen? Lastly, not only do we need to bring a friend in 2010, and have that close walk with God. But we need to be a friend of Jesus. We need to be a friend of Jesus. I want you to look with me in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. I'm closing out. In verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Brother Kativer, this preacher loves you, and I'm your friend. But you and I both have got a greater friend than us. We have a friend, Jesus. Mary, he's our friend. You ever notice he sticks closer than a brother? Blood. You ever notice how you, no matter what, right, or they're going to stick right with you. Jesus, a friend, always sticks by another friend. How many are with me? You know, no matter what happens, no matter what, Philip, no matter what happens this year, one thing you can be assured of, Jesus will never forsake you. Andrew, I don't know where God's going to lead your life, but I'm going to tell you one thing, he's always going to be with you. And it might be sometime, Austin, there might be days in your life that you think the whole world's forsaken you. But Natalie Rose, Jesus hasn't. And in those days, kids, when you think, Jordan, when you think that maybe, boy, the whole world's turned against a cheek against you, you just look up to heaven. Say, Jesus, I know you're there. Because we've got a friend. We have a friend in Jesus. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs 17:17? Proverbs 17:17 says a friend always loves. Let me read that to you. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loveth at all times. Yeah, I'm glad Jesus never quits loving us. I'm glad no matter what we do, Brother Billy, he keeps loving us. Kind of like our kids, Sandy. No matter what our kids do, we still love them. We might get mad, but we always love them. Amen? That's how God is with us. I'm going to give this thought to you and I'm all done. He loves us. We ought to be his friend. and love him. We ought to love him always. You know, I noted this, and I'm closing with this thought. In James 2:23, it says, Abraham was called the friend of God. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, Abraham, thy friend forever. Isaiah 41, 8, Jacob have I chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. You know what I want, Brother Bobby? I want God to think of me like he did Abraham. Josh, I want God to look upon us as we're his friend also. I want to be a friend of my Savior. Amen? I would like to have Jesus say, see that man down there? See that woman? That's my friend. See that? See him down there? That's my friend. Let's live for him in 2010 so that statement that he made about Abraham, he was a friend of God. Mike, I hope Jesus can say in 2010, Mike Sells, Rich Skiver, you put your name, was a friend of God. Let's purpose in our heart. Let's really resolve. No matter what the world, I don't care what the world does, let's stick with Jesus. Like, I love what you said this morning, Mike. Lord, help me put the full armor of God on. Help us never to turn our back. I'm glad Jesus never turns his back on us, and he never will. In 2010, we ought to resolve in our heart, we'll never turn our back on him. We're going to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray on this first Sunday of the year, that we at Bethel Baptist Church as a whole will resolve to have a closer walk with you. Pray that we'll have a closer walk. Pray that we'll resolve that we're going to read our Bible and study it. Pray that we're going to resolve to be in church services. Pray that we're going to resolve that we're going to seek after righteousness and flee from evil. Pray that we're resolved to look for and search for your perfect will, that we will let you direct our paths of our lives. God, I pray in 2010 we'll resolve to not go do anything without your approval. And Lord, I pray in 2010 that we'll know you better. I pray in 2010, Lord, that we'll have a desire to witness and bring others to Jesus, like the lady at the well, like Andrew, like Philip. Lord, I pray that we would have a desire that we would speak to those that would never know Christ. And Father, I pray that we would have an urgency in our heart so that we would speak now, not later. That we would reach them now, today, not tomorrow. That we might understand that one day, like Lot, the deadline will be over. One day, judgment will come. One day we'll be taken out of this place. One day we'll be removed from being able to help others. One day the time that we had to be able to do something, accomplish something, will be taken away. The opportunity will be gone. I pray we'll resolve why we have the time. Pray that we have resolved that we have why we have the opportunity. Pray that we'll resolve that why we can give, we will do. We will give. We will be faithful. We will love you. We will stand by your side. No matter if the world leaves you and forsakes you, I pray we will resolve in our heart that in 2010, we will not forsake you. We will stand by you. And Father, I pray with all my heart, if there's anyone here that's never trusted you as Savior, they're one heartbeat from hell, I pray that they'll resolve today in their heart that they will get saved, that they do not want to die and go to hell, and they'll resolve that Christ died for them and rose that third day, and that they can grab hold of eternal life by trusting Jesus as their Savior. Lord, I pray today they'd be resolved to be saved. I pray Christians would resolve. They know that family member. They know that friend. Lord, there's people today that in 2009, they could have reached and they didn't reach out. And now, Lord, today on this first Sunday, I pray that they'll be resolved to say, I'm gonna leave this church and I am going to witness. I am going to tell that family member. I am going to pray. I am going to write that letter. I am going to witness. I am going to bring that person. No matter what, I'm going to bring that person to hear about Jesus. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, for number one, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know for sure I'm saved. And if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm positive of heaven. Could you raise that hand? I'm positive I'm a child of God. Thank you. You may put him down. How many would say, Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Just raise your hand. God bless you. I see that. Who else? I'm not sure. I saw one hand. Is there anyone else? Maybe put it up. Maybe I didn't see it. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Maybe you're a Christian today and you'd say, I'll be honest with you, Preacher. 2009, I was tripped up. 2009, I didn't read my Bible like I should have. 2009, I didn't witness like I should have. 2009, I might not have been faithful in church like I should have. 2009, and maybe I didn't give like I should have. And Pastor, this year, by God's grace, I'm going to resolve to be what I can for God. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. All over the building. God bless you. Maybe today, as we give the invitation, some of you Christians just need to come up. I don't care how good you are. Just come around the altar. You know, this would be a good thing just to come around the altar and say, God, on this first Sunday, why don't you dedicate your life to him? Why don't you, on this first Sunday of 2010, why don't you come to the altar and dedicate your life to Christ? Say, God, I'm giving you my life in 2010. I'm giving it to you right now. And if you've never been saved, you come. Heavenly Father, help us to have a resolve today to press forward in 2010. Help us to forget those things in the past, but press forward. And Lord, I pray that we'll resolve to do some things for you this year. Lord, many hands went up on both sides that there were things in 2009 they didn't accomplish. Had people that were lost that they didn't witness to. Maybe they didn't give like they should have gave. They cheated you. They stole from God. They weren't honest with God. Lord, today they could start doing right. Help us to have that clear heart and a good conscience towards God. Lord, I pray for those that are lost. Help them to be saved today. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What verse are you on? That young lady right there, raise her hand. Talk to her about Jesus. Yeah. Baptist, why don't you come and pray? Give your heart to Christ and say, Lord, I'm going to dedicate my life to you. Why don't, that's right, just come. Some of you need to come and say, I'm going to dedicate. That's right, just come. That's right, just come. Let's dedicate our life right now. Let's get it right. Let's dedicate our life. Why don't you sell out and say, God, I'm going to serve you this year. God, I didn't serve you last year, but I'm going to serve you this year. I'm giving you my life right now, Lord. I'm on this first Sunday of the year. I'm dead dog serious. Some of you have been playing church. Why don't you sell out to God? Man, he's coming back. Brother Mike, he's coming back. He's coming back. We better get serious. I didn't bring the greatest, probably one of the worst messages I ever preached, but I'll tell you, I brought you truth. I felt the power of darkness trying to hinder me all the time I was up here, but I'll tell you, I also felt the power of God saying, keep on going. I'll bless what you say. Amen. Bethel Baptist, listen to this preacher. We're going to be getting into trying days.
Yes.
We're going to be in trying days. Brother Brent, you and Kathy are going to be dealing with children this coming year that their families are torn and stressed out and just all kinds of problems. And you're going to have wisdom how to deal with all those little children. And Kathy and Brent, we need to pray for them and those that work in Super Church and our bus to have love. To have love and reach out and show those kids we care and that there's a Christ in heaven that cares. This is a scary world. Man, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved because I'll be honest with you. When I see the world, and if I didn't know what was going on, I'd be terrified. Cap, I get terrified sometimes and know what's going on. Sometimes, Brother Jimmy, I'll be honest with you, I get discouraged and I get depressed because I see the world crumbling. But then the Lord says, I know. But don't forget, I'm coming back.
Yes, amen.
It's got to go down so you can go up.
Yep.
See, isn't this something we got to hit down our knees before we can ever go back up. We got to humble ourselves where we can go. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to give you another verse to come and pray. Don't worry what other people think. Listen, just come and pray and say, God, use my life for you in 2010. Sing another verse, Brother Mark. By the way, the one lady came and got saved, amen? Mary's daughter. You want to come? You come right now. Just come right now. Come and pray. Keep praying. You come. We're going to keep singing. You need to come. Sing another verse. Sing another verse. Someone needs to come. You come now. Come right now. Just come. Just come. Say, God, get a hold of my life. God, get a hold of my life. God, get a hold of my life. God, I'm going to give you my life. And here I am. Help 2010. Lord, I'm resolved. I'm going to make 2010 come. You can't bring back 2009. You can't bring back what you didn't do. But you can control 2010. You can make the right decisions. You can start right now, today, making the decision and resolving your heart, I'm going to do this.